Gang, have you ever been stuck trying to figure out a song by ear and you can't quite get it? Well, I have an app for you. Whether you are a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. Go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone and start jamming today. That's ultimateguitar.com. Start rocking out. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all have a great week, whatever it is you've been doing this week. I had a great week. It's been a great busy week. I got to play with a band Wednesday night, playing my tunes over at 1-to-1 Bar for the first time in over a year with a band. It was a great show, man. Everyone did really well. A lot of people came out. It was all around a great success, and it was a lot of fun, and it reinvigorated my excitement for my EP that I'm releasing in September. So I'm feeling really good today. Yeah, I am. I still sound a little stopped up, but those antibiotics are kicking in. The steroids are kicking in. I'm less congested, believe it or not, than I was before. And yeah, feeling good. Guys, I have a great show for you today. I've got a double header, a twofer, if you will. I have Chase Matkin and Patrick Barrow from the band Chill Russell, who have just released their self-titled full-length album in May. It's out now. Go to chillrussell.com to get involved. And if you live in Austin and you're listening to this the day that it comes out tomorrow, they'll be playing on June 23rd, Saturday, June 23rd, at the Fun Stop Fest. So go to chillrussell.com, figure out how to get involved in that, and do it. I have a great conversation with Patrick and Chase. This is their second release, I believe. They released an EP last year, but then they reconfigured their band, turned it into a power trio, got a great bass player who I didn't get to meet. He didn't come by, but I did get to talk to Chase and Patrick. Anyway, they changed their sound and got their thing together, and they're like a self-recorded band. They produce themselves. They do their whole thing themselves, and they're out there doing it, man. So you got to give it up for Chase and Patrick and Daniel, who wasn't on the show. But Chill Russell's a good band, man. They're out there doing their thing. Go out there and check them out. Go see. Go to chillrussell.com to get involved. Before I talk to Patrick and Chase, I have a short but very great conversation with my friend Brian Pounds, who was on the show last fall. We had a great conversation. You might remember Brian was on The Voice. Brian released albums that were on streaming services, and then he decided with his last album that he released last fall that he was not going to put it on any streaming services. And we touched back on that. I mean, it was a big conversation. He's got a lot going on in his life. He's a father. He's going to law school. He's doing a lot of stuff. And he's out there putting out records, writing songs. He's on tour with Bob Schneider. Go to brianpounds.com to find out what's going on with him. But he's playing in Austin next Thursday, June 28th, right there at the Townsend. So before I talk to Chase and Patrick from Chill Russell, enjoy my quick conversation with Brian Pounds with a special appearance from his lovely daughter. Now just complimenting me, man. Well, you always have the cool stuff.
I remember something you said at our last podcast, which was something about we could all end up just being the guy that had a cool Rhodes.
Yeah.
And I remembered that about you, and then I remembered this is like the perfect creative space apartment.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know, for those of you who haven't been here, there's pianos and all kinds of stuff around here.
Pianos.
Yeah.
There's what movie is that?
It's Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that good?
It's okay.
I thought about watching it. It was on Netflix. Sometimes I'll watch a cartoon movie as a grown guy.
There are really, really great ones. For those of you who don't know, my daughter's here because my babysitter bailed last moment. So we're hoping to distract her just long enough with a movie on my phone. There are really, really, really good movies, but Hotel Transylvania, there's a lot of movement and a lot of like interesting looking characters.
Oh, so that.
But like the storyline, there are much better Pixar movies.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That just are good. I don't know.
Yeah.
She presses buttons over there, so I'm almost positive the movie has turned off. Okay. But it's okay.
We're all good.
Just gonna hang in here.
We're in it.
I figured out something about you, by the way.
Oh God.
I didn't know this.
What's that?
I was playing with Derek Morris the other day. Do you know Derek?
I love that guy. Yeah, of course.
He's the best. He's just the consummate guy. You played in Indochine.
I did play in Indochine.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So when I first moved to town, I lived with Tommy Rolson. Do you know Tommy?
No, Tommy. I've known Tommy since he was a little kid.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I'm friends with Sheridan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Tommy was drumming for Alpha Rev at the time. That was my first intro to Austin music.
Yeah.
And there was just these rumblings of Indochine in the background. I don't know much about Indochine at all, except for all of... What is she... She's gone into the iPod somehow.
That's
and is
good,
playing
though.
The one hip-hop song. I don't know anything about...
She's just watching Apocalypse now. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. She's got to learn sometime, man. War's hell. no, I don't know much about Indochine except for there's this kind of like folklore about the band. I guess... And I don't know Casey very well at all.
It was a band that was poised to do very, very well.
So I've heard kind of things. There was just... a mythology about you guys, but I don't know anything about it aside from like some small incomplete stories.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other story to that. You can come through here. Come on through.
So she's scared of Johnny.
So tell me with good reason.
Right.
I could fall off this. No, she's making it around.
I like that she's now found a way to play my record.
Oh, that's nice.
She found that on the iPod.
Hey, speaking of that, last time you were here, we had a whole conversation about your record and how you were going to go ahead and forego all of these streaming services and make it an album that people now purchase. How has that gone for you?
Its ups and downs. I kind of knew when I did that just because I don't have the name recognition to move a lot of product anyways, you know, even on.
So how has it gone? It's had its ups and downs.
So I knew that I wasn't going to move a lot of product, which was just kind of, this was a bit of a Hail Mary, not a Hail Mary, but a bit of like a half wanting to be unique and interesting and half, kind of a moralistic decision in a way. And so I've sold the same amount of records that I sold for the past two, which is like 1,000 or something. You know, nothing huge. But what I've found is that everybody wants to talk about it. I was lucky enough from the record to get into a few of these songwriting competitions. And Liz Rose and Jack Ingram and John Randall were the judges for this one. And they reamed me about it. Like, you have to put your stuff on Spotify. There's just no way that it's ever going to happen. Someone else just recently did. Oh, I opened for Christian Bush of Sugarland, and he and his manager kind of like sat me down and were like, you are screwing everything up. You're screwing everything up, like, but they were like, this is absurd. You're just swimming upstream and it's not going to work and yada, yada, yada. And I remember saying something to you in our last podcast about, well, the fact that you're so upset about it is kind of the point. And I don't know. I think for that purpose, the campaign has gone well because it is memorable and it is, you know, I feel a lot better about the record just because I did something I believed in, you know,
right.
And stuck with it. So even if it doesn't, you know, go gold, which I never had any you know, ideas of it doing.
Yeah.
It still feels better. And it's an interesting thing. It's hard to, because it's not on Spotify all the time, it's hard to stay in the public eye about it. So you kind of have to find ways of bringing it up every once in a while. I kind of feel like a vegan right now because all I want to do is talk about, you know, the fact that I don't have my music on Spotify.
Right.
Yeah. I think my daughter's writing songs on your notebook back over there.
Oh, that's
there.
Fun.
She's doing good, but she's that's distracted. Good.
Yeah. All right, so you're playing a show on Thursday, June 28th at the Townsend.
Yeah.
Is that a band show?
It's actually a trio show. It's something unique that I've been doing. It's a piano and a cello player.
Oh, wow.
And as much as you would think like that would make it sadder, my music's already so sad that it gives it like an energy. We did it for South By. I had an official South By, and it just killed. It was
How did
great.
That go? Where'd you play?
I played at Saxon at like 1 a.m.
Oh, that's a good
spot. And it was only like my friends that showed up, but there was a good amount of them there, but the music just sounded perfect. It was like it had that slow, somber listening room feel, but it was just a wider, kind of bigger sound, and I was really excited about that. So I'm going to try and do some interesting things. I had a new video I just made. That I might premiere at the Townsend. I'm thinking about having a stand-up comic open the show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I want to make it like a more unique type show. So, and the Townsend is just a gorgeous room. And
yeah, I love
there's
that
no
place.
Windows in that place, so you can kind of do exactly what you want.
You can
get
do
to control
exactly what you want.
All of the atmosphere and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that place. I was lucky and honored to be the first person to play.
Really?
There, yeah.
Just as Johnny Gowdy?
As Johnny Gowdy.
Wow.
And then I played later that night with a band, one of the owners, Kathy Valentine, and I have a band that's like the Blue Bonnets with me. And that's
oh,
what,
rad,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, anyway, love the Townsend. It's a great place. I actually just played there the other day. She did a good job.
I thought this was going to go so smooth, too. The other day,
it's going pretty smoothly.
I never wanted to be one of the parents that was just like set up the iPad and everything.
Right.
But I went to see my parents this past weekend, and we went to an Italian restaurant that was kind of, it wasn't fancy, but it's like an Italian restaurant, so it's quiet, and Dean Martin's on in the background. And I set up an iPhone for her, and she was just entranced.
That's
awesome.
She
just stood there and watched. So I had ideas in my mind of her just sitting here and watching this TV show, and she has taken your notebook.
She's welcome to do that.
And all of the notes that you had about this, and she's over there just drawing with your pen.
What about are you still doing the government situation?
I'm actually about to go to law school.
Oh, right. You were talking about that last
time. Yeah, I got in and did well and on the LSAT and everything. So now I'm going to U of H in August.
In Houston?
In Houston.
What, the family moving there?
That's the plan for now.
Wow.
I'm not good with saying I'm going to do something in 2 months and doing it. I just, things change so much, and I'm so OCD and ADD and all that stuff that... It gets tough to plan, but the plan was to just move there and sell our house. And then the plan kind of became, well, maybe I'll commute for a year.
Jesus.
And then we tried to imagine daycare situations and that. So as of right now, we're going to rent our house and rent a space there and then kind of reevaluate after a year. But that plan will probably change tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I won't know where I'm going to live until like a week before classes start.
Well, I play in Houston all the time. You should come out when you're there.
I will.
I play at Fitzgerald's.
Fitzgerald's
like
is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
I play. Have you ever played Anderson Fair?
Yeah. No, I've never. Oh, yeah, I did.
If you
I
haven't,
did.
You should.
I did a few years ago.
And I play there rather frequently and starting to bring people. We should do something together.
That would be great. I would love to do that.
Like there's magic in that room, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really fun place.
Yeah.
I wasn't super welcome there.
Really?
No. I was way too rock and roll for their
rock. It could be. Yeah. I mean, it's a folk room for
oh,
sure.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's like a 60s kind of Greenwich Village.
That's what it was, man.
Feel.
So, people get out there. You live in Austin. Go to brianpounds.com and buy this album. You might as well. It's the only way you're going to hear it. Are you ever going to put it on Spotify, Brian? After
no.
all those people?
No.
After you got shaken down by Jack Ingram?
And
the guy
and
from
Liz
Sugarland.
Rose and the guy from Sugarland.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm just going to let it be what it is. I feel good about it. And I was like, I don't know. I just don't know.
You're like one of those guys that like refuses to get cable.
Yeah, I don't have cable. I don't have cable at all. That's the perfect way of putting it. No, I just, I I feel like the benefit of putting it on Spotify that might happen is vastly outweighed by just my feeling a lot better about it when I wake up in the morning. I may put something on Spotify eventually, but for now, I think I'm just going to... I just like this record, and I like what I'm doing. And I like that it's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully, down the road, there'll be a VH1 Behind the Music. There won't be a VH1 anymore, but there'll be a similar situation where there's only a couple hundred, you know, copies of the vinyl out there, and somebody will have to go track them down.
That's my next project is...
tracking down all my vinyl?
No, my own version of Behind the Music.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
You should do that. Well, yeah. I've been saying, you know, to everybody.
Thank you. They've known since Endosheen. Check out Brian Pounds Thursday, June 28th at the Townsend. What time is your show?
No idea. I think it's at 8.
All right. Go to brianpounds.com. Get involved there. Go to the Townsend.
Website. Yeah. It's definitely on the Townsend website. And it's definitely on my website, too. But I think you get a little bit of a discount if you go to the website and
pre-order your tickets. Yeah. All right. We'll get out there and do that. It's great to see you, man.
Awesome. Good to see you, too, man.
Wake up preaching for and a hole and wishing your body was next to mine.
The fabulous Mr. Brian Pounds, man. I love talking to that dude. I really do. I enjoyed his lovely daughter. She was fantastic, and she drew on the notes for the Brian Pounds podcast, which I gave her my notebook so that she could draw, and I will post a photo of this lovely drawing and on my on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, okay? So you can get out there and check it out. Brian Pounds playing next Thursday, June 28th at the Townsend here in Austin, Texas. Go to brianpounds.com to get involved. Always great to catch up with him. Always great. All right, gang, let's get to my next conversation with Chase Matkin and Patrick Barrow from the band Chill Russell. They're an alternative rock band from here in Austin. They've played a couple South by Southwest. They've done a couple of national tours. They're thinking about to start getting ready for another one. And they're playing tomorrow, if you're listening to this, the day that it comes out, Saturday, June 23rd at Fun Stop Fest. So Chase and Patrick came by, and we had a great conversation. They just released their full-length album in May. It's a self-titled album. It's called Chill Russell. You can go to chillrussell.com to find out more about this album and get more involved. But we have a great conversation, man. Those guys came over. Patrick's got a lot of energy. He's a very excited dude to be there and in the scene. It was great talking to those guys. It was great getting to know them. And they're a cool band, Chill Russell. All right? Enjoy my conversation with Chase and Patrick from the rock band Chill Russell. Let's get down. You guys have toured a lot around the States, or just like some, or how many tours have
we
done?
Went on we did a fall tour last year. We went
it was basically, you put out an EP last fall too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did 13 days up the Northeast, up to New York, and then came back through Chicago and the Midwest. But that was really the only major tour we've done. Probably going to do the same this fall as
Time
well.
Time to repeat.
Yeah. Do a repeat.
It's the Mondo Fest in New York City that's our beckoning call. That we got into it last year, and we're going to apply again this year. And, you know, do you make a whole trip out of it?
Okay. So what is Mondo Fest?
It's basically, what do they say, the South by Southwest of the Northeast.
Used to be called CMJ.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right,
it's like no longer CMJ. Music.
Right, was that it? Yeah,
CMJ. Yeah, CMJ.
College Music Journal.
Oh, I don't know.
Right.
No, it's called the College Music Journal.
It's a
journal.
It's a new festival.
It's like Billboard
from
for poor people.
Gary Fortune.
CMJ doesn't exist anymore.
Right,
it's right.
Mondo Fest.
They rebranded
Mondo
NYC. It was super cool last year, man. Like I compare it to the South by of New York City.
Okay, so did they.
I'm sure they do.
What, yeah.
Right?
What a coincidence.
I know, right? How fortunate are we? Right, so super cool thing to be a part of. Total reason to go on tour. And it, you know, the thing to book before you book a tour kind of deal.
Kind of like an anchor date. Yeah, I absolutely. Think that's what that's referred anchor to date. In the biz. Yeah,
exactly. Well put, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's what's kind of the next step right now. We're putting together some loose tour dates on that.
Do you guys, it seems like you would be popular on college radio.
Yeah.
I mean,
we are.
I don't, I listen to KUTX. Is that college radio?
We just did a Studio 1A session.
I think KUTX has gone beyond college radio. Like, that's my favorite station here in Austin. It, probably anywhere, honestly.
Right. I met a guy today out at Tacoma watching the World Cup who works for the co-op on 91.7. And to me, that's more like student college radio. Like,
yeah.
And KUT 95 and KUTX 98.9. Like, yeah, okay. Student college radio is like, you know, yeah, the guy who's high working
Lori Gallardo and Jody Denberg are not students.
Oh, no. They're pros. Yeah, they're pros. No disrespect to like the college radio stations and students running them. But, you know, there's no difference between student and professional. You know?
So is that kind of like your, is that kind of like where you guys go?
Like our
is that where attack, you put, is that basically? Where you send your music?
Yeah. Well, so Rob does our PR
from Penny Level PR.
I had to postpone last time.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay.
Hey,
okay,
it worked out.
Okay.
But with that, any PR campaign, they basically send our record out to 50 to 100 college radio stations.
Okay. Like yeah.
And so on the last tour, we in just about every city during the day before our show, we would stop at the college radio stations where our
they're jamming your record, yeah.
So we stopped in New Orleans. Actually, two stations in New Orleans.
Felt like 10.
We did a podcast in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then we did another radio station in Nashville and in Champaign, Illinois. That was that was a big one, too.
Yep.
That's cool.
Nashville, too. The Nashville one was...
Yeah, I was saying...
And that's a great way to plan a tour is like... You know, the drives aren't as long each day, and you can get in there and do some press and kind of hit the airwaves for a little bit and decompress. Stretch your legs, really, because being in the truck all day, like, sucks.
You guys go in a truck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a Ford or F-150 out front. It's super DIY. This bin is all DIY. Guys.
So where do you put the gear? In a trailer?
Well, it's a covered bed.
Okay.
So we put the gear in there, and then we put a little extra...
Flat cargo hitch on the back. For, no trailer needed, man. And we brought Rob, too. You can bring a tour manager on that trip. Yeah.
So you travel with a dude. That Rob, he traveled. Didn't he travel with another guy too?
We have four dudes.
Right. Three guys a band with a dude. That's
Rob,
what I was referring
to. Rob was the dude.
Rob is the Rob Australian. Is the dude.
He made sure.
He's Australian?
Yep.
He is Aussie, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It is good.
I've only
good
emailed with him. You don't get the accent in the email. he doesn't end his emails with throw shrimp on the Barbie.
Sometimes you catch
his apostrophe and y'all is after the A instead of after the Y. So, Rob, you really got to put it after the Y.
Yeah.
But,
he's
a great
with
tour manager. Rob is building a solid connection of network. Like,
with he made sure
people.
We made it to all the stops on
time. Right, absolutely. He was the one out of bed in the morning. Yeah. Like, I felt, I left that tour leaving like, Jesus Christ, you can never get up on time and do anything right. Because, Rob is always kicking me in the head being like, you're late.
Yeah. You're late.
But isn't that why you have a tour manager, you know? And
Yeah.
If he was the one always late, then why the hell would he be there?
Yeah. Why?
So, but no, seriously, he has great connections up the East Coast and the West Coast now, too, to expand our presence. Yeah, we do connect with college radio stations all over the country. They have a great kind of like mailer system for that. And when we show up in those towns, they already kind of know who we are because we're in their rotation.
Yeah.
So it's very beneficial.
That was so industry lingo. Expand our presence.
Thank
you. You're getting pretty good at this.
Am I doing
you're getting good. You're getting good at industry
something
lingo.
Right. Well, thank you.
Man, you guys are a really good band. Do you say this last album? That's self-titled, Chill Russell, or is it two squares that are about to become one?
I
don't even know what that means.
I love self-titled about this bracket.
If you need a good name for it, it should be called
Two
squares that are about to become one.
The bracket
10 years from now, I feel like people will call it the bracket.
They're still going to be debating what the brackets are, and that's by
design.
By the way,
the graphic design, we went super simple with it. There are brackets in the middle, and there's a story behind it. Which is basically when we were on tour last fall
for
Mondo Fest.
Yep.
we did
Rockwood
an interview
Music Hall
at
in New York City.
Yeah,
love
Rockwood
that place.
Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked
Marauder Music Group asked us a question
yeah,
in the interview.
They had a really good question, which was, who's the chill in the band and who's the Russell? And we're like, well, that's a great question. So we, on the spot, kind of said that I'm the chill, Patrick's the Russell. And we said Daniel, the bass player, because we're a three-piece, is the space in between. So when we were working on a new logo for the album, we said, how can we kind of, like, play off of that? Like, three individuals in the band, but just two names. So we put
the brackets
say, in there.
Chill Russell, the band name, comes off the legendary NBA player Bill Russell for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, okay, because me and my friend Paul were going back and forth, and he was like, no, it's like they're commanding Russell to chill because Russell's freaking out.
I love it.
And I'm like, no. Cool. They have this friend named Russell that's just
Russell,
super chill. They
see,
call him
Russell,
Chill Russell.
Russell died in a horrific car accident.
We have no idea where Russell is nowadays. I've been following missing persons report for the last 3 years.
We have a friend named Russell, this amazing
really?
Inventor guy.
I have
yeah.
no friends named and Russell at all, actually.
We decided today that we're going to start calling him
really?
Chill Russell.
Yeah,
because he's pretty chill.
I changed my legal name to Russell,
people,
actually.
It's easy enough to remember because everyone can associate something different with it. We played Pecan Street Fest.
Yes.
And a girl came up to us afterwards, and she had seen us during South By, and she said, I remember the name because my dad's name is Russell, and I brought him this time.
Cool.
Like, oh, that's so cool. Like,
that's awesome.
It's something that everyone can, like, latch on and, like, create their own meaning.
I used to have this tech for years. He's one of my best friends, too. His name's Jake, and he found this band Less Than Jake was playing at South by South.
Yeah.
So he went to go see Less Than Jake because his name was Jake.
Yeah.
It's the same. I wonder how many people named Russell come see you guys play just because their name's Russell.
That is a fantastic
that's weird.
Question.
It's only beginning at this point.
You can sell a record to every Russell.
The name starts with Bill Russell. But like, you can kind of tie it in the same kind of format as Pink Floyd, too, because they got asked a lot of times, like, which one's Pink?
Yeah,
right.
It's even
famously
in the song.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I love the mystique for that. You know, I've heard Apple say things like, you know, it's fun to be mysterious kind of things like that, the marketing style and all that, you know, you want to kind of play into that edge as well. But also, you know, we can go way deeper.
Leonard Skinner.
Like,
Leonard Skinner was their
two name band name is, I think, I've noticed it more now that people ask.
Pronoun, adjective kind of thing.
It's all over the place. I mean,
here's something funny. My aunt refers to Led Zeppelin as him. And I think she really thinks that guy's name is Led.
you know that Led.
Funny story.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
do
like
why,
him.
I
went to see him. He was terrible.
Do you know why Led Zeppelin spelled it L-E-D, though, by the way, for Atlantic Records? Because L-E-A-D, they were worried, Atlantic Records was, that
Lead.
Americans always called him Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to dumb it down and be like, no, it's just Led Zeppelin, like a lead balloon, because Keith Moon said that band was going to crash like a lead balloon.
It was Keith that said that?
Keith Moon said Led Zeppelin, the supergroup forming with Robert Plant and all those guys, was going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Joke's on him. He's dead
now. Yeah, right. No, he's dead. Right. I mean, right. But Atlantic Records purposely branded it LED. I mean, by the way, I'm the drummer of Chill Russell. Keith Moon is a fantastic drummer, by the way. But, I mean, he's kind of an asshole. But
drummers, am I right?
They all are. Still, he was wrong.
I was friends with his ex-wife. She lived here.
Really?
Kim. Yeah, she was married to my friend, Ian McLaughlin, who also passed away.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. How many other classic rock stars live here in Austin?
A lot of people.
Robert Plant did for a while.
Yeah, he did.
Robert Plant lived here for a while, never ran into him.
No, I heard he loves Fiesta. He thinks it's the best grocery store in the world.
That's what he said, but my friend, Pally, used to see him at the... no.
Fiesta.
At HEB.
Okay, I heard of a Whole Foods sighting of Robert Plant.
I'm sure he probably would have.
He went on Continental Club stage one night, too.
Yeah.
Not with Dale Watson, but, you know, with
Patrick. Yeah, well, it makes
his
me sad.
Lover.
It makes me sad
I think
that he left. Like, he broke
he
up
drink a Lone Star
with,
Dale with
his
Watson,
girlfriend and...
I think the
drummer
of the Spin
Doctors. I heard his family wanted
him
to come back to London is what they wanted. He was like, I miss my family in London.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So, guys, let's talk about this. There's a vast sort of, like... there's a big palette that you draw from musically.
Oh, yeah.
When you play, But I love the harmonies, all of you guys. Do you guys, when you guys record, do you track live?
We track, we'll usually try to do, like, and this is for the last year and a half, basically how we've been doing it. We will do at least two of us playing the rhythm tracks at the same time. So Patrick and either me or Daniel. That way we're playing to a click, but we want to at least get a live feel a little bit. Like,
foundation.
Keep the live feel.
Yeah,
the foundation
it seems like, I mean, you guys have like some tracks that going underneath on some tunes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. We definitely do a lot of overdubbing, but yeah. We always start with at least two of us playing together. Usually cool.
The drum
me
foundation
and
starting, right.
Yeah. What we did for the album, we did all drum tracks first. Like, that was priority. We're going to make sure that within two recording days, we had all the drums recorded yep. for the album. With that being said, I was still tracking with Patrick. We just didn't use that guitar
scratch
part.
Track.
Essentially, we went back and redid the guitars.
Right.
But it
known
started
in the business as a scratch track. Good job. Patrick's got the lingo,
turn
man.
My headphones up.
All right. So how long, like 8 songs is an album, right?
Well, we hit 9 on this one.
Yeah, it's kind of...
But
we
hit 9.
Oh, sorry,
to
I miscounted, bro. Don't be mad at me.
Harmonies and stuff, you know, we let everyone participate in the vocals on the album. But, and that was something that kind of came up in the recording process that I asked, you know, I was like, is it better to have, like, this lead singer frontman record all the vocals himself? Because, like, Kurt Cobain did that on Nirvana albums. But is it, you know, also some of the bands let the backing members, you know, contribute with their... you know, harmonies as well. So,
If it's part of your sound live, I don't know why you wouldn't do
right?
that.
Yeah.
In
exactly.
The studio.
So we went with everyone contributing it's as kinda, well.
Yeah.
So
we kind of said that, like,
we had that conversation.
A lot of solo artists, like John Mayer, you know,
Beck.
Whoever else, they do their own backup vocals.
Right.
But we got
John Mayer is a very weird reference.
Right. I think on Nirvana, Kurt Cobain's the only singer on Nirvana albums too. By the way, I'm pretty sure it's not Dave Grohl at all.
I think Dave did, well, maybe that's just live.
I don't think
live.
It is.
Yeah.
No? I should have researched.
Well, there's people like,
on...
you ever listen to the record Girlfriend by Matthew Sweet?
No, I haven't.
That's kind of obnoxiously all him.
right.
Yeah.
Like, I can sense.
I actually
like,
just made
really
an EP
like
that's coming out
right.
in.
I don't want to sniff that, you know, ego too much.
Well, I mean, a lot of times too, it. I mean, for me, I've done it where I've done all the backing vocals myself.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it can be very uniform. This
true.
I just made a new EP, and I actually got backup singers to
cool.
do that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That adds so much,
it's a
too.
Valid question to ask during any recording process. Is like, you know...
I did do some backup vocals myself where it was really spontaneous. I was like, oh, my God, I just had this idea for harmony.
Right.
Hit record. I got to get this down right now.
Yeah.
And then that stayed on there.
Right.
So,
it would be funny as this went on, he'd be like, I also replaced some bass tracks. Also, I played some of the drums on there.
I went behind everyone.
I think the key point to summarize all that question with is it's not universally applicable to anything, but like, mm-hmm. you know, whatever fits for each project. And, you know, some projects demand just the lead singer doing it, and others should, you know,
yeah.
have everyone
yeah.
else contribute.
Well, it seems like the vocals are solid. Like, they're really good. I think it's a really cool sound.
Thank
it's
you.
A nice blend,
thank
especially
you.
On this new album.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say earlier is that you guys do cover a lot of territory musically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think from one song to the next, it
it's almost white albumy. You know what I mean? Like,
it what?
Almost like white albumy.
White album.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I mean, you
very
say
much
that
so.
You say that now. I got in trouble for that sort of thing at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who got you in trouble?
Lars Ulrich. He was the
really?
Owner of
Lars
the label.
Ulrich?
Yeah, he signed my band.
Huh.
And he said, the next record, you have to really focus
on one.
And then I said, well, dude, that's the thing is like, mm-hmm. I'm like a white album guy. And that's
yeah.
the kind of album that gets
oh
me off.
God.
He's like, yeah, well, you're also not in the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. He used to say stuff like that.
Well,
I mean, not in a jerky
well,
way. He's just, you know, he's
yeah.
the guy giving
that's
you money
point.
To do
I
shit.
Think that's,
like, hey.
That's cool.
Kind
I'd also
of the...
be like, Lars, you know, you can also play a different drum beat in Metallica for once. You know,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that's the fun part of, like, where we are as a band now is we don't really answer to anyone. We're
well, I don't think
band.
It's bad.
Yeah.
But I know that people
yeah.
can say, like, hey, if you guys could, like, focus in so we have a direct message
exactly.
going on.
Cool.
But, like, why,
yeah.
why
yeah.
you know, who
yeah.
gives a fuck? It's art.
Currently,
right.
you know, we're not working for a label.
That's a good
right.
point, too.
And,
also, and, like, creatively, when we come to writing albums, we have a very closed-door policy when it comes to creative decisions about it's the three band members close the door, seal them off, and like it's us. You
no
know,
like, producers or anything.
Well,
tell you?
Our bass player Daniel Duclos is the producer, yeah. actually. So okay. like, it's all DIY, man. So like,
and I think that's super cool.
Yeah, and we took Nick Landis from Terra Nova Mastering helped this, you know, produce and mix the master the album out. But like, yeah, like in terms of like. When we're talking of like, well, what do you think about this synth texture? How's this note sound? Does that carry over too mm-hmm. much? Like, what are these small little like minor things here? Then those are all handled like by the three band members completely ourselves. You know, no one else gets to influence that whatsoever. So like, I know like, you know, and we've tried that before with bringing other people and like source it with your friends in the room and all that kind of thing. You know, it didn't work. And like, so we have, yeah. So we have a very closed door approach to the creative yeah. process of the three band members seal off the rest of the world. And it's us writing the album.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, despite songs sounding very different,
you guys
there's
all
definitely
right?
cohesiveness throughout the whole thing. Say again.
Oh, yeah. It's totally yeah. cohesive. I'm not yeah. saying it, like, jumps from, like, Rocky Raccoon to, like, Helter Skelter yeah. or something right, yeah. like that.
It is a good flow, though. There's a good
diversity. Yeah,
it is
a good flow. Yeah,
album.
Yeah. But there's a lot
I
of ground
see,
cover.
I see what you're saying,
and
though. Totally.
You wouldn't get songs confused with other songs on the album, which I think is a good thing.
They
like,
also
you wouldn't
don't
be
all
like,
sound
oh,
the
which
same,
song is. Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is you wouldn't think, like, oh. Oh, I thought this was a different yeah. song.
Hey, and trust yeah. me, that crossed a different our mind band. In the beginning, too.
I think you can listen to each one
we're like,
and go,
are we,
yeah,
are,
it's the
are
same
we getting
band.
Too dancey here, man? Like, what are we, like, you know, like Cher or Madonna
yeah,
here? Like,
I don't know.
No, not at
I
all.
I like the dance.
We're rock and roll. And, like, by the way, for the one genre when people ask us, what do you guys sound like? We are rock and roll. Like, that's it. Okay. No further questions, Your Honor. Like, that's it.
Do you guys all write?
No. He does.
You write the songs, Chase.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
We have a fantastic process yeah. in place.
I'd say I write 75% of the song, and then I intentionally don't finish it because I don't want to bring in a finished song for everyone. I like to leave things open and see how it can become better. And Daniel will say I have something like Answers. The second song is a good example where I had most of the song written, which is it's a lot of verses and a slight change for the chorus, but at the end Daniel said, hey, let's try to do something kind of different throughout a completely new progression, and that's what becomes like the outro to Answers.
Cool.
So yeah, I'll write all the lyrics and they I mean really they developed all the way up until I was recording vocals right. yeah. for the actual songs.
Pretty live experience.
And then we just all try to like put our, you know, each individual input into it and see what happens.
Something I've found to be very unique and very incredible about our current situation in this band is that I've been in so many other bands before that, like, well, we had multiple songwriters and it fails a lot. You know, like, there's too many egos butting heads and people just want to tear each other apart. You know, it's the kind of thing. So right now in this group, we have an awesome process where Chase writes like the guitar licks and the lyrics. And then he brings them to me and Daniel Duclos, our bass player, and I'm the drummer, where we sort and kind of filter those ideas with him. You know, we all stay in our lane. It's a process. We all know our role, you know? And when Daniel joined our group, he's like, I really like this, like, kind of setup we have here. It's like an assembly, like, kind of thing. And I was like, thank you. Like, finally, you know?
Well,
like,
here's the funny thing about Daniel joining the band. We needed a bass player, but we didn't tell him that we were basically like kind of starting over as far as our sound.
We rebooted.
Yeah. Cause we, Chill Russell has been a band in full capacity for like 3 years.
For
basically.
Those who didn't know.
So Daniel comes in to his audition essentially, and we hired him on the spot cause he was so good at,
it's fantastic.
at bass.
Daniel, you're great.
He just picked it all up immediately.
Very experienced bass player.
But basically after hiring Daniel, we said, all right, welcome to the band. We're going to record two new singles in, say, 2 weeks.
And we need you to go on tour now.
And we need you to go on tour for 2 weeks.
Because we got in Mondo,
weeks.
New York City. And
so Daniel...
And we had an 8-month-old baby infant at home, too, with
he
his
does?
Wife.
Daniel
yeah,
does,
we did
yeah.
last October. Yeah.
Yeah. So he jumped in.
That baby is now 1 year old. Happy birthday, Walter Duclos.
And happy Father's Day, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Father's Day.
Yeah. We're not fathers.
Yeah, we're not. Daniel Duclos is a father.
Anyway, all that goes to say is he joined the band and completely superseded anything we
yeah.
ever thought possible.
Blew away our expectations. Yeah. You know, the person we were looking for and that we needed. So, and that's where we're at now. That's how we've been able to. The new Chill Russell album, we recorded and released from day one of the first drum track that was recorded to release date May 18th, 3 months. Mastering, recording, yeah. Everything. It was insane. But we did it. And that's what teamwork does, you know, and that's a unified front. Yeah. That's how you work together, and that's how you skip the bullshit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're feeling great about that. We're not probably going to drop another LP in the next 3 months again, because we're all, like, dead tired from it.
We're looking at 6 months.
but we had a ton of material that was ready to get out there, and we were like, this needs to be in the hands of everybody now. Yeah, and that was the point.
Like, we just wanted to, like, you can spend a year, you could spend 10 years on an album, but I wanted it to, like, this is us right now. I want to get it out in its purest form. And a lot of it plays like a live record almost, just because you get the energy and the feel of what we sound like as a three piece. Now there is extra production. You hear synth in a few of the songs, and we're incorporating that into the live show.
More electronica kind of a sound out going forward as previously heard. Yeah.
I think
it's a good thing.
I like to call it a blend of organic sounds and electronic sounds.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It helps fill up the environment and the atmosphere more, give more three piece with like more electronic sounds and like live. I'm playing with a metronome in my ear every single beat of the entire show now. It's all synchronized too. So that's another bigger production aspect we've been working on too. Like, make it like a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good, that's an important thing. Yeah.
So that's something else we're working on as well.
Yeah, it's an important aspect that gets lost sometimes in the bar scene. You know what I mean? Yeah. Really does. Where are you from, Patrick?
I grew up in Houston. I went to high school in Houston.
Yeah, Houston, baby. Where'd you go to high school?
The Woodlands.
Yeah, baby. I went to McCullough.
Really?
My freshman year. I lived in the Woodlands from fourth to ninth grade.
Yeah. I'm not rich or anything. I just, you know, came from that rich part of town. I was the poor kid in the rich high school. So
me too.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, were you out there getting trouble outside the, you know, in the park across the street there?
What?
Were you doing bad things in the park across the street there all the time, too?
I don't think the Woodlands High School...
I forgot the name of that park, but I was there a lot.
From McCullough? Or from...
Yeah, across the street McCullough.
Oh, yeah. It had a zip tie thing, didn't it?
I don't know, but you could smoke out there all you wanted.
Oh, yeah. That's where I learned how to smoke. From a Duran Duran picture.
North Shore Park in the Woodlands, picnic table.
So, a Woodlands guy. And when did you grow up playing in bands and stuff?
I did, actually. And my dad's a musician himself. And so, my dad's played piano for like 60 plus years. He's a pianist. He's a keyboard guy.
What's his name?
Lee Barrow.
Okay.
Yeah, and he lives here in Austin, too. I'm actually trying to help him put together a blues band to play at Continental Club. That's a side project. So, actually, my parents met through him playing in live bands in Atlanta in the 70s.
Cool.
That's how my parents met each other. So I grew up playing music. I learned piano at age 5, got my first drum set at age 8. I did a ton of performing theater and musicals and stuff as a kid.
In theater, like community theater, like the Alley or Tuts or something?
No. Well, I was actually born in New Jersey and I moved to Houston when I was 10.
Okay.
And so I did a bunch of like local, like theatrical stuff as a kid when I was 10
in Jersey.
And younger. Right.
He's just a Jersey boy.
I know. I'm a mutt. But my parents are from Georgia, but I've never lived in Georgia. So my parents are from the South, but my dad was for Exxon like for 20 plus years. So we kind of lived in New Jersey and transferred to Houston and all that.
Okay.
But yeah, so like I did performing arts as a kid. And then fifth grade, I joined concert band. I did marching band. I did drumline, all that kind of stuff too. I call drumline the boot camp for drummers.
Oh, yeah.
Because your ass is going to get molded into clay or you're going to die.
Well, you did you graduate from?
03. Okay. Yeah. 2003, I graduated from high school.
What about you? Where are you from, Chase?
What's your story?
Oh, yeah, Dallas, Big D.
Hollywood.
I got here as quick as I could, though.
Yes.
Don't like, are you a non-Dallaser? The anti-Dallas? Got a lot of Dallas people in the show.
I played in what I could try to call the music scene there for like 5 years. And I don't know. They're just, it has gotten better in recent years, but I didn't find a lot of support there.
We got a gold mine waiting in Dallas.
It's too big and too spread out. I just think Austin is that like 10 times better than what the Dallas music scene could be.
Do you guys get up and play? Like, do you guys tour regionally and do that stuff?
We really haven't a whole lot.
But you just go on these big tours?
We've been talking about it.
We've done it before. But...
I mean, because there's, you know, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio are all, you know, within a day's
trip. It's on our mind, but we played Dallas back in October. Yeah. When we hit other cities outside of Austin, it's typically... encompassed within our bigger like
we hit
national tours kind of thing.
But I love Deep Ellum. I think it's a cool spot, and I hope that it continues to thrive even more than it is now. But in the last,
it's kind of coming
years,
back.
Yeah, like yeah.
What's there? Dada
Club
Trees.
Dada just opened back up. They were closed for a good 10 years or so.
Really?
Yeah. I played at Trees. That's a really cool venue.
Yeah, me too.
They have a House of Blues there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On Elm.
I
played
Elm,
the House of Blues. I played that Cambridge
Dallas
room, right?
Yeah.
The smaller room is the Cambridge room.
That
yeah,
sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good place.
Yeah, like, and I
didn't feel like I could really take my musical career any further than it had at that point, so I moved here 5 years ago.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And you guys started this band like 3 years ago?
Yep, 2015.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. The band's been through some changes. We started as a four-piece. We used to have a former frontman, and then we had another bass player, but we downsized to a three-piece about a year ago.
Yep.
Yeah. September. And that's when we took on Daniel Duclos, the new bass player, and the current format of Cheryl Russell began. So that's when the reboot started in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now because we felt that it was the unified front we needed and that we had been lacking. And so we're feeling like the sky's the limit at this point.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that. Sky is the limit.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't
you never
know.
Appreciate
this, do I?
So I was going to ask you guys this question. You're doing this show on Saturday. This is going to come out on Friday. So you got this show that's coming out on going on Saturday, mm-hmm. the 23rd, June 23rd. Yeah. Fun Stop Fest.
Yes.
And that's the Keep Austin Weird thing?
Well, it used to be.
It's
what,
a
what
5K.
Happened? How's everything okay. changed its name? Oh, and
it's called,
I don't know what's what anymore.
Well, so the good folks who put on the Fun Stop 5K and Festival got sued for trademark infringement by Outhouse Designs, who own the trademark to Keep Austin Weird.
Didn't they steal that slogan in the first
place? I don't
place?
Know who's... They probably trademarked it first is what
there,
they did, actually.
There was a guy. They I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but he came up with it. It wasn't
Leslie the Holmes guy, was it?
No.
Okay.
Another
option. He should have, though.
It was a bumper sticker,
right?
And it was meant to dissuade. There
was
a
smart people
who trademarked
it first,
but then someone else swooped in, started putting.
This
it on
is America.
Yeah, so I guess they got sued because of that.
Yeah, and so they had to change the name, and now it's the Fun Stop 5K. And let's speak positively, though. And so, actually, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. The show portion, which is on Auditorium Shores.
Cool.
Officially, they say it's on Riverside Drive in front of the Long Center.
Yeah.
Anyone can walk up from the public to see our set, which is at 5:15 p.m. We're playing a full hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Boss Street Brass Band is playing before us at 4 p.m. as well. If anyone would like to run the 5K, they can purchase tickets at funstop5k.com, which this 5K is an alcohol-fueled marathon with little obstacle courses along the way where you take shots and drink beers, and it's super awesome.
And it's like
I have
400 degrees and super humid. That just sounds horrible.
Yeah, I really hope they
no
have
offense.
Some water.
No offense.
Dear Fun Stop, please
well,
set up hydration
like to,
stations.
If you like to have a good time
and
you,
I hope
and
an
you
ambulance
like to
is
torture
at,
yourself.
There better be an
the
ambulance
time.
At each station, too, because I might need it. It sounds super fun, though. We're really excited to be part of it. It's really cool to be playing a venue like Auditorium Shores.
Mm-hmm. Actually, crazy story related to Boss Street Band. I just found out they are headed to China this summer for like 6 weeks.
China.
A friend
cool.
of mine plays in the band, and I was asking him
really
how they booked a show in China. They were playing in the street during South by Southwest because their showcase got canceled. So they said, okay, let's
so
just go
busking.
Down. They were busking.
A
Chinese businessman came up to them, gave them his card, and they exchanged information. And something came up for a Tsingtao beer festival this summer.
No
and,
way!
And they're headed over there for 6 weeks.
Wow.
So it just goes to show, you can meet anyone...
Crap.
At any time playing a show.
That would normally sound like clickbait to me, but like that sounds like an awesome opportunity.
You won't believe what happens
next. You won't believe what happens if you follow this Tsingtao beer into China.
That sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I just found that out a few days ago.
It's amazing.
You guys have aspirations to get out of the country and play yourselves? You want to go to China?
It would take a lot.
Maybe it's not what... China, perhaps. We certainly do embrace the ideology that... If you want to become a professional touring act, you need to escape Boston.
Yeah.
You
know?
Well,
this town's
how
awesome.
How can you be a touring act if you've
done it? I know. But I should expand on that. Like, there's a lot of great venues in this town that are very accommodating and very welcoming to bands. And then there are some others that are not.
I think that there's a misconception from people that begin to play music that since it's referred to as the live music capital of the world, and right. there are so many gigs happening every night that you don't have to leave. Right. But that is literally the stupidest thing I've ever...
Stuck in the scene.
Didn't the city council have a meeting like in the last year where they drew up an ordinance saying that clubs should have to pay bands like a bare minimum?
People
they
did. Tried no.
That was a suggestion from the crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
And no,
and
it was
that's cool.
Group.
And some clubs are like Charles does that.
I can totally explain what it is.
Go ahead.
There are people that feel like they're not getting paid what they're worth. And there's no basis in what they're saying. And so they took this to the city and saying that there needed to be some kind of like minimum wage. There needed to be some kind of like flat pay scale. But I say, fuck you, because I'm been playing my whole life. And why should some jackass make as much as I
deserve
do
more than minimum.
When they don't bring as many people as I do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. It's just kind of, I mean, it's simple economics. Okay. And it's just kind of like some people feel like the arts doesn't like business laws and business not laws but like business theories and the way that business works don't apply to the arts, but if you're trying to make money off of anything all of those things
apply. The music scene here is what you make of it, like of course, because it's the live music capital of the world, there will be hundreds if not thousands of bands trying to play every show they can,
right?
And venues know that they can take these kind of mediocre bands and pay them little to nothing, and those bands are happy playing those
that's
shows.
Another thing
that's how
that
it
happens
works.
Is it not impossible to place a minimum wage on every single band that's creating art in a venue every night and say they're all worth $7.25 an hour? Is that not inaccurate?
You know what I mean?
Like,
I mean, it's totally.
They're all worth
their
own values. Like, they're not worth minimum wage.
I had a guy in here recently. I had a guy in here recently that his gigs are like only at these places, like on 6th Street, playing in a blues trio. Mm. Like,
you play
like
covers
every
at the
Thursday
Domain
and Friday
for $300
a night. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm in a cover band, but we do way better than $300
well,
a night.
Well, what's
ridiculous.
Funny is, like, when we were in Nashville. Have you been to Nashville?
Uh-huh,
I'm sure.
A lot.
Yeah. This most
downtown,
recent tour.
Broadway is it called, or 2nd Street, whatever
so
it is?
So, Austin 6th Street on a weekend is obviously crazy. On a weeknight, it's, you know.
Semi-clean.
Whatever.
Not a lot of vomit.
On Broadway in Nashville, there were no less than 50 venues, and every single venue had a country band playing.
Want to tell a story?
And I was completely shocked at how much more difficult it would be to make it in Nashville than it would be here, because everyone is dying to play it. And this was on a Tuesday or Wednesday
night. We thought
this
scene was saturated.
Yeah. Yeah.
We walked around Nashville at night after being on tour for a week and a half straight, and we were trying to find it. We remarkably said, can we find a bar that doesn't have a band playing? We walked around Nashville Broadway for like 15 minutes, and we could not find a bar without a band. We found the guy with an acoustic guitar, and we were like, that works. It was the quietest bar we could find.
To answer your
question.
You
guys played there?
We did.
Where'd you play there?
In Nashville, but not at that bar, right?
No, right. But
we played a,
what was it called?
It was a clothing
Bowery?
Store. Was the Bowery Ballroom, I believe. Yes.
Bowery Ballroom. That's in New York City.
Yeah. Shit. I don't think it was a SoFar thing, but the Bowery Ballroom is in New York City.
Yeah.
It was a clothing store upstairs of a pasta restaurant.
It was part venue, part
they offered a guarantee though.
Vintage clothing store.
It was really
that's
kind of
cool.
Yeah.
They gave us free,
a nice
free drinks
set up. It was backline, which was neat.
For a touring band to get like at least that minimum guarantee of food and drinks, like you're like hallelujah.
Yeah,
But to answer your question, touring nationally, internationally, we're focused on the U.S. right now. We want to build our fan base in larger centers, Austin, New York, L.A., and, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Right.
International would be cool. We're just not ready to make that step yet.
Yeah.
I do one day want to be, like, huge in Japan, though.
That'd be awesome.
That's my,
I love Japan.
That's my dream is to, like, I don't care what happens over here. If I can go tour in Japan for, like, 3 months and they love me, I'll be completely
the
satisfied.
Cool opportunity we have right now is that we just dropped a killer new record and that we're all very excited about it. And we just want to get that into the hands of as many people as we can right now.
Yeah.
And we think that's going to open up a ton of new doors and horizons for us right at the moment.
Well, people get out there. They should get out there and check out this is your full-length debut because you put out a couple of EPs already.
Yep. Correct.
It's the full-length debut of Chill Russell. Came out in May. You can go to chillrussell.com. You're on Spotify, on all the places where you find the music. You stream, you download. What are you, anything I'm missing here, guys?
I think you hit all the, I think the major did. Points.
Did I hit the major points?
We have a music video in the works. It'll be coming out at a date later to be announced, but there is a new music video in the works,
okay.
And we're very excited about releasing that to the world as well.
Yeah. Good.
We'll probably put out a couple more videos by the end of summer.
Yeah. So, and yes, our next show is going to be Saturday, June 23rd at the Fun Stop Fest on Auditorium Shores.
It's free for the people.
It is. Just show up. We will not turn you away. Just show up and have some drinks.
Yeah.
So we play at 5:15 p.m. for that. And we are going to rock the entire earth in front of us. So,
yeah.
We have a great new live set established with a lot of new tricks and toys up our sleeves. So, I'm very excited to play that.
Yeah. All right, everyone, get out there and check them out. Auditorium Shores. Go to chillrussell.com. Thanks for doing the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Chase Matkin and Patrick Barrow from the band Chill Russell. Their self-titled album is out now. Go to chillrussell.com. And if you live in Austin, and you're listening to this the day that it comes out, tomorrow, Saturday, June 23rd, they'll be playing Fun Stop Fest. Go to chillrussell.com to get involved and to fulfill all of your Chill Russell needs. I want to thank those guys for coming by. It was nice talking to them. I was very tired when I had that conversation with them. I played a lot of shows in a row. A lot of shows in a row. All right, Chill Russell, man. Chase and Patrick, thanks for coming by, gang. And hey, don't forget, when you're out there checking out chillrussell.com to find out stuff about Chill Russell, you can always subscribe to this podcast wherever you find podcasts. Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, TuneIn, Apple Podcast app, Android Podcast app, iTunes, wherever you do your podcast stuff, you will find How Did I Get Here. Follow us, subscribe to us. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. With me talking to some kind of musician people. I want to thank Brian Pounds for coming by. I want to thank the dudes from Chill Russell for coming by. I hope you guys all have a great weekend. And if you're in San Antonio the day that this comes out, Friday, June 22nd, come on out to Sam's. Check out Skyrocket. We'll be rocking the house, all right? Thank you guys for listening to the show. Have a great weekend. Whatever it is you're doing, let's get down.